Good evening. We're continuing the Talmud series. Today it's number 33. If you remember, last week we finished with the Torah started with Milut Chasadim, with kindness, and ended up with Milut Chasadim. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu made clothing to Adam and Chava after they made the sin, we also see that from when once a person shows signs of busha, of embarrassment, that's a sign that he has da'at. How do you know if a person has da'at or not? If he's embarrassed from what he does wrong or not. If he doesn't, then he doesn't have da'at. If he has, then how do you know? We learn from Adam and Chava. What's with Adam and Chava? Before they ate from Etz Adat, they were not embarrassed. They didn't have clothes. Once they ate from the tree, it's called Etz Adat. We have Chochmah Bina Vadat. It's a special level of wisdom. Once they ate from the tree, first thing they realize that they have to make themselves clothing. From here we see that when a person is embarrassed in his modesty, that's a sign that he's a clever person, he's smart. You know, he has a spiritual wisdom. If a person is not embarrassed, if a woman walks in the street like animal, she's not embarrassed how she looks, who looks at her, what people think about her, one day her kids will see pictures of her, what they're going to say, that's a sign that she doesn't have that. That's a very simple. We have direct proof of the Torah. Today, we're continuing. If you remember also last week, we spoke about Avraham Avinu, that for two words that he said, Anochi Afar Va'efer, I am a sand and ashes, the dust. So, and we say for that we got two mitzvot, the ashes of Parah Aduma, and the ashes that thanks to that we're able to purify the people who touch dead bodies, and also to the afar of the sota. Of Isha Sota, you know, so the Gemara brings all this, everything midah keneged midah, measure for measure. Also, Avraham said to Ephron, I won't even take a shoelace from you. I won't even take a shoelace from you. Everything I will pay you. I'll pay you for the cave, full price. Thanks to that shoelace word, we got the tefillin, the stripe of the tefillin. So the Gemara says, once a Jew has tefillin on him, it's a sign for all the nations of the world to see that the name of God is on this individual Jew. Now remember, today we only put the tefillin in a synagogue in the morning and finished. But at that time everyone was wearing it all day, everywhere, at work, in the market, on the street. People wore tefillin all day, you know. So every Jew that came and he saw... Every Jew who came and saw, basically, you know, that the Jew is walking and wearing a tefillin, from now on, he saw, it reminds the goyim that these Jews, the name of God is always on them. Because the goyim, at least in those days, they knew what it is. It's not like today. You put the tefillin in a plane, the next thing they call the police. And they make the plane land. You know, in those days, they used to know what's going on. Okay, so that's where we ended up. Now, we're still in Masechet Sota, and the Gemara say, Kol ha-machnif la-rasha, sof nofel be-yado. If a person is doing everything he can to be nice to the wicked person, someone who is against the Torah, someone who is against Hashem, if a person is doing everything he can to be nice to a person that he should stay away from, not only... You have no obligation to run and to be nice to him. You have to stay away from him as much as possible. But if you go and respect him just because he has money or anything, and it doesn't bother you that this person is hating the Torah and is against God, doesn't bother you, what's going to be your punishment besides the punishment in the afterlife? That most likely you're going to pay the price that this wicked person will be the one who will go against you. Thinking that you're going to be able to, you know, to be nice to him, maybe he's going to be nice to you, whatever. No, my friend. He'll be the first one who go against you. Because this is everything in the hand of God, everything in the hand of Hashem. And if you won't fall to his hand, your son will. And if not your son, your grandson. But one of your family will fall into the hand of this Rasha. This is the words of Rabbi Elazar in Gemara, in Masechet Sota. The Gemara continue. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when Pharaoh told Yosef, after I'm giving you my ring, nobody in Egypt can make a beep without your permission. Which means he made him the strongest person in the biggest empire of the world. Egypt then was much stronger than, for instance, United States today. United States, it's a strong country, used to be, not anymore. But, you know, it's an empire. It's big, there's a lot of people, there's lots of business, money, important companies, army in many countries. So it looks like a country that is substantial. That's nothing compared to Egypt. The empires in those days, it's interesting. If you look at Babylon, they occupied the whole world. The Greeks, the whole world. The Egypt, the whole world needed them. There's nothing to eat. Everybody came to buy wheat from them. The empires of those days, you couldn't make any, you cannot move without them. Not like today. Many countries don't have relationship with the United States. They manage. But in that time, everyone was depend on Egypt to get food. Everyone. And imagine now, in Egypt, who's the strongest person? A young Jew. How old was Yosef when he became the strongest person in the world? 17. How? No, 17 he arrived to Egypt. Then he went to jail for 12 years. You know, for his Eshet Potiphar fake that he was trying to touch her. They put him in jail. He was supposed to be in jail 10 years. He was supposed to get out age 28. But since he asked help from the Egyptian goy, God didn't like it. He says someone in your level should not count on this filthy, wicked person. And because of that, he had 2 more years to his punishment. And he came out age 30. But when he came out, he was in minutes. They ran, they shaved him, they gave him haircut. Right, the way they changed his clothes like a king and quickly got him to Paro thanks to the dreams and the whole story. From here we see that when your time comes to become important, nobody can prevent it even by a minute. If Hashem wants you that tomorrow at 3:33, the whole world would know who you are for good, it cannot be at 3:34. It must be by then. That's it. Nobody can prevent it. So, Pharaoh told him, nobody can lift his hand or his leg without your permission. You are the master of everything. The advisor of Paro, they went crazy. They say, slave that was bought for 20 coins, size of a shoe, for a price of a shoe. A slave that was bought somewhere in the desert by the Arabs who brought him to Egypt and sold him over here for a price of a pair of shoes. In Payless, 70% off, what, 20 shekels, 20 shekels, it's an embarrassment. It's no price. You're going to make him our king? How can it be such things? He told him, I see that kingdom is in his genes. He has something about his personality shows me that he's going to accept that job pretty well. He's going to sit nicely in it. They told him, test him in his languages. We have a rule here, no? Up to now, you need to know 70 languages to become a king. If you don't know it, you cannot be a king. You know 70 languages, you Paro. You want to make him a king? See if he can speak 70 languages. The Midrash and the Gemara say, the Malach Gabriel came and taught him 70 languages overnight. How can you teach a person 70 languages? You have to insert a CD in his brain, no? It's an angel CD, much better than our CDs. Sometimes it's scratched, it doesn't work. Over there, it's directly from Hashem. But it wasn't so simple. The Midrash says that he was teaching him and he wasn't getting it. It was too hard, he couldn't get it. Even though, I mean, he's Yosef, still he wasn't getting it. So they changed his name. What's his name? It used to be Yosef, Yud, Vav, Samech, Pei. They added the Hey of Hashem, Yehosef. We say it in Tehilim, Pei Aleph. Tehilim, Perek, chapter Pei Aleph, right? 91, Tehilim, Psalms. Edut beYehosef Samo. This is a sign in the name of Yosef that Hashem put. What? Like Avram. Avram is to be Avram. He made it Avraham. He put the hay of God inside. Sarai used to be Sarai. Hashem put his hay inside. She became a prophet, Sarah. Yosef, now Yehosef, with hay. Oh, became an important person. Edut beYosef Samo. Betzeto al Eretz Mitzrayim, when he came out to rule the nation of Egypt, right? Sfat lo yadati yeshma. That's what David HaMelech wrote in Tehilim. This is the secret of Yosef. The Gemara says that when Yaakov was about to leave the world, right? He was already 147 years old. Now he gathered all his sons to tell them goodbye. I'm leaving you. The truth, Yaakov wanted to tell them the end of time. How when Mashiach comes, how what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And Hashem scrambled it. He couldn't see. He blinded him. Why? Not to ruin our free choice. You know exactly when it's going to be. That's it. There's no more choice. Everybody knows. You know, it won't happen. What's the point of praying for it? It won't happen in our time. We already know. Since you don't know, you expect it every day. It's an obligation. Anyway, so Yaakov told Yosef, I want you to swear to me that when I die, you take me to the holy land to bury me there, not here. Don't bury me in this filthy land when all kinds of black magic and voodoo and all these things that is goyim do. Make sure you take me to the holy land. Why he made Yosef swear? Why not the other brothers? They're older. No, you should be more responsible. Because the other brothers have no say. He is a king of Egypt. He can decide if he wants to take him or not. He can get soldiers, he can get a carriage, he can do whatever he wants. But the truth is, it wasn't so simple. Because when Yosef came to Pharaoh and told him, I promised my father that I'm going to bury him in Israel, Pharaoh told him, you cannot do it to us. You are the minister, the treasury. You want to live now for 2-3 weeks until you go to Hebron. All the way there, remember, there's no train, no express trains. No, you have to go with horses, camels, whatever. Until you get there, until you bury him, until you come back 2 weeks. What's going to happen? Who's going to run all the business? There's billions of dollars running here from all over the world. Lines from morning to night, people coming, buying all kinds of food, people giving their houses, all the deeds of the houses, one after the other they get. The prices go higher and higher. There's not enough food. You know, when there's not enough food, I don't have to tell you what's happening. So that's one of the rules, that in China they don't allow to have more than one kid. So already there's almost nothing to eat. How you can feed 2 billion people? If they have 4 or 5 kids in a family, in 1 year they're going to be 4 billion. Next year it's going to be 10 billion. The next year it's going to be 15 billion. Where are you going to get them food? Well, you need so much land. That's why, by the way, that all the commodities are going higher and higher. One of the reasons gas going higher is because the Chinese becoming more and more advanced. And they buying more cars. And they buy a lot of oil. And there's X amount of oil. And now there's high demand. So the prices go high. Everyone willing to give more just to get it. And the same thing gold, same thing silver, every commodity, everything, sugar, corns, everything goes higher and higher. Why? There's too many people in the world. When prices will come down, if 1 or 2 billion people will die, the world will come back to normal cheap prices. That's the only way. Otherwise, it's only going to get worse and worse. Logically, many, many years ago, when there was 1 billion people in the world, all the experts, the economists, already predicted that in a few years people will starve to death all over the world. Why? There's not enough to feed the whole world. The population is too much. That's one of the reasons that many Americans claim that the United States government are cooperating with the drug companies to create all kinds of viruses and sicknesses to kill as many people as possible. It's good for their business, for the health, for the insurance, for the companies, all the politicians. It's all one unit. It's good for them. They're not interested to find cure. I'm not saying that I say it. I'm saying this is a lot of experts claiming it. that the government are not interested. They want many people to die, because the more people they have, the more food stamps they have to give. The more, it's like a father, you know, like people today that they have no faith in God. If they have 2 kids, or if they have 12 kids, it's a different story. The secular Jews, 2 kids is already too much for them. Ooh, how am I going to feed them? How am I going to pay for their education? Another kid, it's my end. The religious people, they know it's all from God. They're not worried. 3, 4, 7, whatever God gives me, it's his job. He's going to feed them, not me. It's a different mentality, different understanding. But most of the world have no faith. And the governments are thinking, the more people is going to be here, the more disaster it's going to be here. The more we're going to have to give them, the more Medicaid, the more Section 8, the more food stamps, unemployment, there's not enough jobs. How are we going to create jobs for another 200 million people every year, you know? It's growing like crazy, and plus immigrants are coming. It's a disaster. So it's very good for them, heart attacks, cholesterol. Just today someone sent me an email, 10, 15 minutes film, about some expert, about all the chemicals that you see. For instance, today was showing Diet Coke, zero. 100% poison. Wow, such a dangerous poison. Ruins the brain, cause cancer. Mamash horrible. And everybody knows, the FDA knows. That's what he claims, the FDA knows. And they don't care. If everyone will be healthy, in 5 years, it's going to be, instead of 350 million Americans, it's going to be 600 million. What are you going to do? You're going to have another 100 million unemployed people? People will kill each other on the street for food. So that's like a conspiracy. Plus, the politicians receive tons of bribe from all the cigarettes company and from all the drug company. And there's many experts who claim that the drug company is actually in their medicine that cure one sickness. They already plant all kinds of other sicknesses. And it's growing and all kinds of mutation. They change the way the vegetables are growing. They mix all kinds of things. Generic. It's horrible. I mean, the way he described it, he says he has hundreds of documents, legal documents. It's years of investigation that it's all a planned conspiracy because they're looking at the overall picture. More people going to have, this country will go lost in the end. You understand? But this is only happening because people don't understand that the world has a real boss. When they say there's 1 billion people, people will starve. Today we are 7 billion, and Baruch Hashem, everyone eats. You know, everyone eats. Today in the United States, when you say this person is really so poor, they have nothing to eat. Take that family that you just heard about them, that they have nothing to eat, and see how much they eat in the average day. It's better than the millionaires 100 years ago. 5 generations ago. What do you think people ate? What do you think it's like today? There was no refrigerator, so it was a disaster. You want to make yourself meat. You have to slaughter an animal. You have leftover. What are you going to do with the meat? So you only eat meat in a special occasions. You have guests. You slaughter a goat or something, or a cow if you have hundreds of people. But otherwise, people were eating bread. Look at the Yemenite. The Yemenites. The Yemenites lived in a very poor country. The Yemenites. And the Yemenites, if you look at their food, there's hardly anything there. Only bread, water, and flour. All their food, jachnun, melawach, fatut, it's all bread. It's food that it's the cheapest on earth. You know, you look at that. Why is it? Because there was nothing. There's none. These poor countries, that's it. You don't have refrigerator. You don't have money. You eat as less as possible. Today, when they say, oh, poor family, they have nothing to eat. Potatoes they have as much as they want. Rice they have as much as they want. Chickens even they have. Chicken? Nobody think, oh, I'm eating chicken. I'm a lucky guy. Chicken? Four, five. I'm looking at the time when I was a kid. What is it? Almost 40 years ago. We couldn't afford the things that the children today complain about. What did we eat for breakfast? Rye bread? Israeli white cheese, the smear cheese, 5% fat, and eggs, and sometimes olives. Cold cuts was already luxury. I remember I used to tell my mother, I want to buy a donut from the grocery. Donut, jelly donut, like we eat in Hanukkah. Maybe once a year I got it. And we were not deprived family. Everyone was like that. I remember when I was a kid in my class, if somebody brought cold cuts in a sandwich, I already looked at him like a rich guy. Yes, that's how it was. And that's only, what, one generation ago. Today, oh, they eat restaurant, sushi, Chinese, poor families. You go to a poor family on a Shabbos table, see how they eat. It's all relative. The more spoiled the people are, the more they suffer. In two generations from now, people that will eat steaks all day, they'll say, we're very miserable. We're only eating steaks, nothing else to eat. Because they already get used to something better. You understand what's going on here? If people will go back to the right perspective, like it used to be, life was simple, people will focus on the right thing, nobody would suffer. All the suffering is in the mind of a person. And by the way, the more people eat, especially now when they put all these MSG and all these things in the food, even in a toothpaste, there are things who make cancer. Now he said that one or two companies took it out of the toothpaste. Because they give water to the kids and they put something inside the water, cause cancer. I wish I remember all these chemical names, you know. You always buy food, you see all the preservatives that they have. Nobody understands what it is. All kinds of names. Find me one American that understands these words. Forget about foreigners. One American understands all these words on the Diet Coke or all the other things. There's about four or five names. Nobody knows what it is. And people eat. And people take the FDA like it's Torah Misinai. It's the Torah of Hashem. How do you trust them? What makes you think that they care about your health? Did you ever think maybe they're interested that more people will die? It's good for the healthcare, the business, the government make fortune from it. This, they charge. So much. How do you know? All the health insurance, the taxes that they pay. It's all connected. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying anything from my own. And I'm not even aside here. And I'm not mixing my own opinions in it. But you know what it is? They say in the Gemara, there's no smoke without fire. If there is smoke somewhere, don't believe that there was no fire. Something there was there. So many experts are claiming these kinds of claims. 5% of what they say is true, it's already too much. Too much. This is what's happening. So Yosef said to Pharaoh, I have to go bury my father. Pharaoh said, you cannot leave us 2 weeks without the supervisor of all the money, of all the business. So Yosef said to Pharaoh, remember, few years ago, when you gave me my job, you tested me in languages. You sitting in your chair, there are 70 levels all the way from the floor to your chair, 70 stairs. Every person who wants to talk to you, he allowed to climb as many stairs as the numbers of the languages that he speak. So if he speak two languages, he goes up two stairs. Five languages, five stairs. 10 languages, you got a little bit closer to the chair of Pharaoh. I came all the way up to your level. I was with you face to face in the 70th level. And then I started to talk Hebrew, the holy language. You didn't understand. I started to say, Asher Yoshev Betecha, Odi Alu Chasela. I said, what, what? What are you saying? I'm speaking the language of God. And I told you, you know, now I deserve to be the king above you. Because I know more languages than you. So you told me, I'll make a deal with you. You swear to me that you won't tell anyone you speak more languages than me, and I'll make you really officially the king. You'll be the boss here. Here is my ring. That was the deal, right? Now, Pharaoh tells Yosef, you don't have to keep your promise to your father. You, the Jews, have a way to get out of your swearing and all this. You do atarat shvuot, atarat nedarim. You dismiss the vows. You have three people sitting, you read something, they answer back, mutarim lachem, you're forgiven, and you can go on with your life. Do it. We need you here. Somebody else, I'll send messengers, I'll send servants, they'll bury your father like a king, don't worry. So Yosef told him, okay, but there's only one problem. If I dismiss my swear to Pharaoh, remember what I swore to you? It's also dismissed. Pharaoh realized where he's heading to. So okay, go bury your father, no problem. So Yosef left in the middle of all the show, He left. He went. He buried his father. So this is what the Gemara says here in Masechet Sota, like this. It says like this. When Yosef spoke in Lashon HaKodesh, ולא הווה פרו יד המאי הווה כאמר, פרו wouldn't understand what he says. It says like this. You finished? He was continuing, going and going. He say, swear to me that לא, השתבה לי דלא מגלית, swear to me that you will never say. He swore to him. And then later, this is exactly as he says, עלה וקבור את אביך כאשר השביעך. Where does it say it? Genesis 50. Nun. What? Ale, go. Ale. What's Ale? Go up. Because from Egypt to the Holy Land, you're going up in a spiritual level. In a physical level, it's the same level. You walk straight. No up and down. Straight. Every time the Torah speaks about going from one country to Israel, it's using the language going up. Or going from Israel to another country, going down automatically. Even if that country somewhere is higher on a map, it's higher, doesn't matter. We are always speaking about spiritual. So, Ale ukvor et avicha kasher ishbiacha. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, four groups cannot accept the Spirit of God. What are they? Clowns, liars, people who kiss and respect the wicked people, and people who speak Lashon Hara, gossip. Gossip. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what happened to him? I heard this, I heard that. All day, on the phone. They have nothing to do, so they're bored. I spoke about it in a different lecture, just to conclude it briefly. Clowns doesn't mean people who work in a circus, or clowns that come to the hospital and play guitar for the sick people to cheer them up. No, they do a mitzvah. We are talking clowns, everything, it's a joke for them. All they look is to laugh at people, to laugh at the situation, everything, ha ha ha, all day jokes, nothing serious in their life. They've always been sarcastic, nothing is serious, you cannot rely on anything, you know, you don't, I mean, this person is not a serious person. Somebody like this cannot accept the Spirit of Hashem. Or liars. Hashem says, stay away from lies. Me and liars cannot be together. You got to be very careful before we lie, because we pay a very heavy price. Chanfanim, as I said, respect the wrong people. You're still drinking Diet Coke Zero after what I say? You understand what's going on in our life? Huh? How can it be? And you also have a bottle, I see. Yetzer hara. Oh, the Gemara continue. כשרבו מקבלי צדקה מן העובדי כוכבים, היו ישראל למעלה והם למטה. You know, now the Gemara speak, if it's permitted to accept tzedakah from the goyim, donations from the Gentiles. Depend for what? If the goyim donates to a synagogue, you're allowed to accept? The answer is yes. What happens if a goy wants to donate Sefer Torah to the shul? You're allowed to use the Sefer Torah that the goy gave? It's not so simple that the answer is no. Some allow, some don't allow. There's an argument between the Chachamim. Some says that if the goy is a kosher goy, he believes in Hashem, he's not an idol worshipping, and he paid the money to a Jewish Yerei Shamayim Sofer to write the Sefer Torah, just because he paid for it, why shouldn't you accept? Now remember, in halakha, in Jewish law, there's no difference between a goy to a mechalel Shabbat. No difference. So everything that you speak about, if you're allowed to accept from a goy or not, the same thing with mechalel Shabbat. It will be the same law. In 99.9% of the times, the same law. Sometimes, it's actually, the Torah is more strict with a Jew that violates Shabbat than with a goy. For instance, if a goy had a baby and he wants to bring a sacrifice to the holy temple in Jerusalem to say thank you to the God of the Jews, which is his God as well, you're allowed to accept it. You accept, no problem. You take it, you say thank you, and you sacrifice it to his name. What? Chris, the son of Christine. No, he brought a sacrifice to Hashem in Jerusalem, the Kohen, Abraham, Yitzchak. He sacrificed it for him. No problem. And the goy is happy. Oh, I did something for God who gave me a baby, a daughter or whatever. Very good. What happened if a Jew that is not keeping Shabbat brought a sacrifice to say thank you to Hashem that he had a baby? Not allowed to accept it from him. Not allowed. It's against the halacha. Tell him, come back when you be Shomer Shabbat, then we'll sacrifice. You don't want to listen to Hashem, don't do us a favor and say thank you to Hashem. To say thank you, start with listening to his orders. You know, you cannot go to the army and join the unit, special unit. You have a chief commander over there. You tell him, I love you, I respect you, you're a great man, and everything he tells you, you do the opposite. It's just not going to work. 2 minutes later, they kick you out of the window. Give us your uniform, you don't belong in this unit. You're lucky if you stay in the army. You may end up in jail. You know, in Israel, if you make a beep when your commander is speak, probably spend a week in jail after. Depend on his mood, if his wife got him angry or not in the last day or two, you know, but he got the point. Point is, you know, there's a limit. So, speaking about if the goyim wants to give money to make Jews religious, depend what goyim. If it's a goy who bow down to Buddha, of course not. Who wants to accept anything from him? It's a cursed person. But if he's a righteous Gentile, what's the problem? He keeps the 7 laws. He believes in one God. He doesn't believe in JC. He doesn't follow the nonsense of Christianity. So he believes in one God. He's not a murderer. He's not a thief. He's not, because if he already believes in God and try to be righteous, most likely he's not a thief. Even people who believe in God sometimes make sins. You know, they steal, they do some things, they speak Lashon Hara. But the idea, we're talking in general. In general, he is automatically every day stealing. Stay away from this person. If it's a normal, okay, it's decent. Once in a while, he cheat here and there. You know, he's evil inclination. It doesn't put an X completely on him. Overall, believes in one God, respect God, follow the 7 laws, do not worship an idol, and doesn't make all kinds of other sins against his rules, you're allowed to accept from him. So in general, almost to all causes, you're allowed. But the rabbis today and always do not accept money from goyim that goes directly to Torah learning. Everything around the Torah learning, to pay for the building, to pay for the electric, to pay for the cleaning of the building, you know, to pay for some shelves that you need to install, you need to install a bathroom, you need to do construction, you need money, right, to maintain the building. That's no problem. But directly to the Torah learning, that's already a problem. Why? What's the problem? Because when a goy wants to do something for Hashem, he can choose any cause he wants. He can donate tefillin, he can donate buildings, he can do whatever he wants. The problem is that when a goy does something, it doesn't only help him personally. It also helps his entire nation. And the problem is that most of his nation are Jew haters, as history always showed. He can be a righteous with a clean heart goy, and he loves Hashem, and he loves the Jews. The problem is he strengthened the hands of all the anti-Semites and all the descendants of Amalek or the Ishmael, all these nations who always hated the Jews and wanted to destroy them and always do everything against Israel, as we hear on the news every day. They receive strength because now it counts like their nation did something. A mitzvah, and they get the koach, the schut. I remember that about 14 years ago, I went to one rabbi's office and I saw a picture of one of his students with Bill Gates hugging. Bill Gates and him hug. So I asked the rabbi, how this person knows Bill Gates? He said, oh, he's a big shot in Microsoft, this Jew that became religious. He became a Baal Tshuva. He's one of the big shots of Microsoft. He's a president in one country. He's in charge of the whole country of Microsoft. So they have conventions of all the leaders. So he took a picture with him. So I say, you have such a connection to Bill Gates. He gives millions of dollars by the hour to all over the world. And you're always struggling with your financials. What's the problem? Ask him to make you a meeting with Bill Gates, if he's a friend of him, personal friends like this, with a hug, smiling in a picture. He told me, you're crazy. All the Torah that we learn will go to his nation, not to the nation of Israel. You lose all the merit of the Torah. So here is the rule. To prevent them from doing that, we can do. Same thing, Mechalel Shabbat wants to donate money. You cannot come to him and say, you're a wicked person, we don't want your money. Maybe this donation will turn his life away, around. It will make him more righteous now. Now Hashem see that he cares and he gave donation. Now he's going to give him an opportunity to make tshuva, repentance. You prevent him from doing it, what's going to happen? He's going to become worse and worse and worse, and who knows what's going to come out of him in the end. And it's not really so simple. I don't want to get into it too deep because it's really, really complicated, and there's also a lot of arguments about it. The Torah continued, the Gemara, Kol ha'osek ba'Torah mitoch dochak. Every person who learns Torah out of poverty, doesn't have money for the rent, mortgage, for food, whatever, problems. People knock on his door, what about the money you owe? Right? Tfilato nishmat. When he prays, Hashem accepts his prayer much faster than someone who eats well and have plenty of money in his bank account. That's why when you need a chazan, let's say Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, it's the most important prayers of the year. And you have two chazanim. Both of them knows Torah. Both of them rabbis. Both of them knows how to pray. Both of them have beautiful voice. One rich, one poor. Who you should let become the shliach tzibur to pray for everyone? Who? The poor. He pray with a broken heart. This guy, chatanu, avinu, is thinking, oh, another million. Chatati, 1 million. Aviti, 2 million. He's holding his smile, not to smile. But the other one, Chatati, tomorrow they take away my house. Aviti, they take away my car. My kids, they're going to go out of school. I don't have money. That's a broken heart. Everyone benefits from it. Very simple. Tanu Rabbanan. Ha'ne'elavim ve'enam olvim. There are two kinds of people. Those who offend people and those who get offended. I'm not talking crazy people, for every beep they hear, they get offended. I'm not talking this kind of people. I'm talking people who insult and people who get insulted. On which category it's better to be? The side that insult or the side who get insulted? Hashem say, make sure you are in a side that get insulted and never ever even once be in a side that insult anyone. Make sure. What's the next thing? Shomim cherpatam ve'enam meshivim. You hear all the bad things about you, whether it's true or not, it can be even a whole fake, and don't make a beep. Don't answer. Imagine someone attacks you in a class in the middle, in front of 50 people, and make up a story about you. Yeah, I saw you the thief, you the one, and it's not even you. And you have such great answer to answer him back. And to bury him alive, because when everyone sees he talks and he has no limits, this person, because you have an alibi or you can provide a great proof that it wasn't you, or whatever the case is, and you don't answer, you say, Hashem, I'm not even wasting my time on this fool. You are the boss. You do what's right. Finish. I trust you. That's it. I don't do anything. Then there's a higher level than that. Not only they hear all the insult and they're not answering back anything, when they do everything they do with love to Hashem and happy from their suffering that they receive from God. Not only accepting it with understanding. Many people are mixing between I accept what God punished me with understanding because I know I deserve it. And I'm not a fool. I know I deserve even more. That's why whenever he gives me, I say I deserve it. I cannot make a beep. That's one nice level. There's a much higher level than that. Thank you, God. Thank you. Don't ever stop giving me what I deserve. Better to get it here than over there when I die. And not only that. Suffering in this world, it's an indication that Hashem is still expecting an improvement from you and is not tired of you. When you stop suffering, then you know you're a lost case. 5 years you didn't suffer, you're a lost case. The righteous people, if they saw 40 days they went without suffering, no sickness, no problem with the kids, no problem with the health, no problem in the business, all kinds of things like this, you know what they used to do? They used to volunteer to hard work, picking up rocks, cleaning the roads. What do you do, Rabbi? It's too dangerous. 38 days already, everything went too smooth for me. No, for up to 40. They say 40 days I went and Hashem did not send me any suffering? Something is not right here. Let me bring the suffering to myself. That's how they used to do. Hashem, no, 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 I don't want to get my reward in this world. You want to pay me in this world? My life became too easy? No, thank you.
Is that why the secular Jews generally are the ones that are like the billionaires?
Of course, I answered that many times in the past. One of the indications, actually, the Jews that we should feel bad for them the most are the ones who are wicked and successful in their material life. They are the ones who are in a worse situation in this planet. The worst. If you see a Jew in Mechalel Shabbat, no Yom Kippur, no Pesach, no integrity, no honesty, making sin, cheating, lying, arrogant, cursing, eating, no bracha, not kosher, nothing, not tefillin, no prayers, no nothing. Right? Another million, another building, another project, two more cars, another private jet, now he owns the city, and the next thing he became the mayor.
Yes.
Those are the one who for sure has no share to the world to come. For sure. But remember, I said, everything can turn around in a minute. Sometimes a person is already a big X on him. But I don't know, a year before he died, he gave a big amount of donation to a very good cause. And in 1 second, his account from 500 billion sins negative, is in a negative balance, he did such a great thing that his balance changed tremendously to the positive side by one check that he wrote. Because remember, it's not a piece of paper. It's now millions of dollars went to a good cause. Many people learned Torah. Many people became religious from this money. They're going to keep. Hashem already looked 100 years in advance, 200 years, 500 years in advance, what's coming out of this donation. You know, there are yeshivot in Israel, they're more than 100 years over there in the building, more than 100 years. You have here in America, Lakewood, Mir, it's more than 50 years the buildings are standing. Imagine the people who gave the money to open the place. There's 50 years and today they have 5,000 learners, 10, 11 hours a day. 5,000 people are sitting there, learning from morning to night. It's been going on for more than 50 years. Imagine that person that probably passed away already a long time ago, how much he earns every Rosh Hashanah. So this is what I always say. Everything can turn around with one good thing. Because money, it's a great tool to buy mitzvot. And most wicked people don't understand it. I say to myself, if I was a multi-millionaire, or what we call today a billionaire, and I knew on myself that I have such strong evil inclination, such strong desires, I cannot control my desires, I keep making sins, and a person knows himself. He knows the truth. He knows he makes sins, he knows he violates Shabbat, he knows he makes all kinds, he watches bad things. Yeah, you know, all the things that the wicked people do, they know what they do. So if I would be in this situation, the only way to give myself a chance would be to become very generous with charity. There's no other way for them. Charity is the only way that can keep them floating above the water. If this they don't do, how are they ever going to get saved?
They give charity, but not to Jewish organizations.
That's enough. For that kind of charity, they'll get punished. They won't get rewarded. Giving charity to the Palestinian liberation terrorist group, it's not going to give you any reward. Or to the United Negro Fund to give them some education that they can hate the Jews a little more, whatever. You know, like that Facebook stupid guy that gave $100 million. Imagine if he would take the $100 million and give it to the Torah or to his brothers, how much he could earn. And what's technically, what's $100 million for him? His company worth $70 billion. You know? So really, $100 million is already peanuts for him. But still, it will make such an improvement in the Jewish world. You understand what we're talking? I don't even know that organization. What is it? He gave supposedly money
to Goyim to
learn in a public school. To learn better that they came from the monkeys. What do they teach in public school? We came from the monkey. They don't teach about God. Well, you know, there was a little monkey. He was his face was down. Later, he started to rise. His tail became a little bit shorter. He used to jump. Then another mutation came out. It became a new, different monkey. It became white. It became black. All this nonsense that they teach over there. Ay, ay, ay.
So then, why not give it to the Orthodox Jews? In that way, then they'll give it, you know, they'll give charities to other places.
If a person doesn't have a lot of money, it means, if he's a righteous person and he doesn't have a lot, it means that his test in life is not charity. He finished that part of his life in the previous reincarnations. Now you don't have the test of being generous or being stingy. You had it, you passed it. Being rich, it's not like everybody thinks, oh, what a lucky guy he is. If you see a poor person and a rich person, the poor person most likely is in a better condition. Why? Because the fact that he doesn't have millions, it shows that Hashem is not testing him in charity, which is a very hard test. We see. How many rich people use their money for good causes? 1 out of 100? Maybe. Not even. So you see, most 99% of the people fail. We have to admit that it's a very hard test. It's a very hard test. Even if they finally write a check, it burns their heart for hours or for days. Most of them. Not everyone. So you see, if I don't have, that means Hashem is not testing me. When I come to him, he say, hey, why didn't you build 5 yeshivot? With what money? With my $2 in my pocket, you want me to build 5 yeshivot? How do you expect me to build? Of course, Hashem is not going to ask you this. Can I ask you why you didn't keep Shabbat? Why you didn't put tefillin every day? Why you didn't eat kosher? This has nothing to do with money. Shabbat, you can sleep and rest and eat a bread with a little bit of cheese, and that's it, you shomer Shabbat. Don't need to be rich to keep Shabbat. Right? Tefillin, you don't have money for the tefillin, you come to the rabbi of the community, he'll get you tefillin for free. Or you pay 100 payments, $10 a month. Mitzvot, if you want to keep, you can keep. The problem is the luxurious lifestyle. That's what makes us have to work forever to get all these desires. So, happy from the suffering, Aleem HaKatuv Omer, this is what God say, Ve'ohavav Ketzet HaShemesh B'Gvurato. It's like shining, like when the sun comes out, like it's a great moment of the day that the sun is rising. It's like the most positive moment of the day in a creation. Oh, the light came, finally. This is how the righteous people who suffer and happy and love the suffering that Hashem is sending them. Why? If I knew it's coincidence, of course I hate my suffering. What a bad luck. But if I know my father is sending me these smacks, it means he loves me. You know how kids do everything they can to get a smack from their father? Why? Attention. Today they found an expression for it. Negative attention. You see, he doesn't get a positive attention, so he begins to drive you crazy. No? And when they always come, when you're on the phone. An hour now, you are not on the phone. As soon as you dial, he comes to talk to you. I say, well, wait 2 minutes. But Abba, but this, but that. Something that they know, there's a chance to get maybe a bad look or yell or something. If they get a smack, forget it, they make a party. Don't be impressed that they are crying and pretending that it's a part of the attention. It's a part of the show. Anyway, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol says, from the time that the Holy Temple was destroyed, from that time, we're going down and down and down until we got to a point that we have no one to rely on except HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avinu Shebashamayim. Now the Gemara says, I made a whole lecture about it in Hebrew. It's called Signs to the Arrival of the Messiah. Now I'm going to briefly tell you, I spoke over there an hour and a half, but briefly, the Gemara 2,000 years ago gave signs of what's going to happen in the generation that the Mashiach will come. Now, please pay attention to the list. All the things that I'm reading to you now, not only that they were not exist 2,000 years ago, nobody in his wildest dream ever could imagine that we will become so low. In a time when the Chachamim wrote that, you can see 100% that it was a vision, a prophecy. 100%, because there was nothing logical that you can anticipate. It's like today. You come and write that soon people will be able to fly with their hands like this. What's the chance it's going to happen? Oh, and 2,000 years from now it's happening. Then you know that person had a prophecy. Because there's no indication that we are close to such an achievement, that we're going like this and we'll fly. How did he know? The same thing over there, to write what they wrote, and I'm going to read it to you in a second. It was against all odds. But not even, you don't have to go 2,000 years ago. 50 years ago. 50. None of these conditions existed. 50 years ago. Our grandparents. In their time, none of these things existed in the world. Not only in Israel. In the world, even by the goyim. Let's see. In the generation of the Mashiach, when the Messiah will come, every person in the world will have chutzpah, arrogance. No respect, nobody respect anyone, nobody pay, nobody give nothing. Disrespect, arrogance, nothing. Well, no manners. In the middle of the lecture, people pick up the phone and begin to talk. You had something like this 50 years ago? Well, I didn't have phones, but nobody would dare to do it. Your teacher come to the class. When I was a kid, everyone was standing. Today, the teacher come into the class, he get a tomato in his eye. Teacher needs bodyguards today. With the 30,000 a year that they make, they pay the bodyguard, they come home with no salary. Right? Chutzpah is gay. The level of the chutzpah, of the arrogance, is the highest it's ever been. No. Ayoker ya'amir, inflation. Prices all the times are rising. Every day, more. You come to the grocery store, bag of rice, $7. Next week, $9. Not talking 7 or 5. 9. Come next week, 14. Next week, 19. What happened? In 1 month from 7 to 19? Yeah, commodities. Gas. A year ago, $30. Now, 110. What's going on here? Gold, 400, now 1,500. Everything crazy. Well, 10 years ago, 13 years ago when I came to Muncie, you can buy a house with 1 acre land, big house, with basement, with the second floor, nice, $135,000. 5 years later, just the property alone was $600,000 without the house. You understand what happened here? Nobody understands what's going on. It's not only here, it's all over the world. Everything goes higher and higher. Crazy. But Agefen Titen Piria, there will be plenty of grapes in the world. Plenty. The market is flooded. And the wine prices continue to become higher and higher. I just remember when I used to go to people's houses 15 years ago for Shabbat, a great bottle of wine was $6-$7. Same bottle, $30 today. That's it. It became four times more in 12 years. And not that there is shortage of grapes. There's plenty of grapes. As a matter of fact, they throw tons of grapes every day to the ocean in Israel. They don't want to break the market prices. You buy here, you pay $3, $4 a pound. Technically, there's so much grapes in L.A. or in places like these, I don't know, where it's hot, Florida, L.A., wherever they bring it from, or from Mexico. There's so much grapes that it should have been 5 cents a pound. Why it's not five? They don't want to work for free. Bringing, carry boxes, bringing it in, bringing it out. For what? The whole case like this, $5? They don't want to work. So they make sure, I don't know, 40, 50, 60% of what they grow, they throw to the garbage. That the leftover will have a high price. That they don't have to work so much. Same thing when I drive to Muncie, there's two gas stations. One 5 miles away from the other. One of them, he sell, I don't know, a gallon for $3.90. You drive another 5 minutes, $4.90. Why? They're not interested to have a lot of cars. They don't want to work. They say, we don't want quantity. We want quality. For every car we give gas, it's like 15 cars of the other one, because they make very little on a gallon. I don't know how much, 10 cents they make. Most of the money is the cost of the gas and the taxes and all that. So they say, instead of making 10 cents, we'll make $1.10 or 90 cents. It's a big difference, 10 times more. So instead of serving 100 cars an hour, all we have to do is serve 10 cars and we make the same amount of money. It's on the highway, people get stuck. You understand? The same concept here with the fruit. They throw a lot to the garbage that they don't have to break the prices. That's how it is. I was wondering to myself, I understand the logic. They don't want to work and make nothing. Fine. But why don't they give it to the widows, to the orphans, to the army, to the soldiers? They won't lose customers. To people who anyway cannot buy. If you go to the, you know, there's so many batei tamchu in Israel, places that they give food for the poor people. Why don't you donate it to them? Why don't you give it to the yeshivot? You have hundreds of yeshivot, 100 guys here, 200 there, 500 there. Take another four to buy every day, watermelon, grapes, melon. You want to throw it to the garbage? Have the yeshivot pick up from a place. You put everything in one place and let them come and take for free. They don't want. Why? It's better to give it to the sharks than to give it to the scholars of Hashem, of the Torah. Right? And there's no Yirat Shamayim. Everyone does. To some extent, yes. I always say one of the most painful crimes that we are witnessing every day is the weddings. Weddings, bar mitzvah. Such a shame. Baruch Hashem, I never go to weddings almost. Maybe once or twice a year. Baruch Hashem. Imagine if I go all the time. It'll kill me. To see 200 pieces of salmon in front of your eyes, they pick up from the table to the garbage. Steaks, meat. Yeah, a person didn't touch his plate. They're not interested to bring it back to the pen. And they ride away to the garbage. They throw everything, fruits, a whole piece of grapes, everything to the garbage. And it's not one or two. It could be 400 people, 500 people. The cream cakes, the fruits, this. In the end, they pick up everything up and they throw everything to the garbage. They don't care. They don't have. And their boss, he's giving them orders, everything to the garbage. Hundreds of chickens. Nobody touched the garbage. That's how it is. You don't believe me? Go wait to the end of the wedding and see how when they pick up the tables, how much food they throw every day to the garbage. I cannot believe that there is one wedding that in the end of the wedding there's less than $7,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 damages by throwing the food, at least per every wedding. Multiply it by thousands of weddings a year, and you know how much food goes to the garbage. When yet, again, people don't starve to death, but believe me, there are many families that cannot afford meat or fish or things like this, but that's it. Nobody cares about the others. People want to just go home faster. Why it's been done like this? Because to start taking it out and put it back and cover it and put it in the fridge, it's a work. It's an extra 2 hours work or an hour, whatever. They want to go home already. They want to finish in 15 minutes right away. The cleaning people come and finish. You know, that's it. That's what's going on. Anyway, so the wine will still be expensive even though there's plenty of grapes. The kingdom, the governments, what we call today, will all be wicked people. No respect to God. Everyone does what's good for him. Nobody cares about the laws of God. Not in a Congress, not in a Knesset, not in a Japanese Congress, nowhere. And if you think by the Arab countries, when they come with this kafia and they pretend they're all religious, go and read some books about Saudi Arabia sheikhs and the Iraqi president and the Libyan president, that every 2 minutes they say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. How many crimes they do and how many wild parties with girls and all the prostitution that going over them more than any other place in the world. And this is people who are, when they speak, they give morale about prostitution, about modesty. If a woman in Iran will get caught not so modest in the street, they may make her disappear for a week or two. And you know what they do over there to people. But they are the most corrupted people. The most corrupted people. Why? It's all fake. Yirat Shamayim, it's real. It's not only the speeches and the image, if it's in your heart or not. And then, what else? En tochacha. There's nobody to call the people and correct their ways. Everyone is afraid. Rabbi, why you don't tell the women here that they're not modest in your congregation? You know, I'm afraid to turn them off. Well, Rabbi, why don't you tell the people not to come with the car on Sabbath? Tell them it's better they stay home. Why? Why, you want the synagogue to be full, that more people donate money? Is that the call? No, God forbid, no. But it's better they come than they don't come at all. No, it's not better. It's against the Torah. No, you know, why don't you tell the people to stop talking in the middle of the prayers? Why don't you stop and say, we won't continue to pray until there will be a complete silence here. You don't want to be quiet? Goodbye. Close the Sefer Torah, no prayers. We're not going to come here to thank God and spit in his face. It's better we won't thank. What's better, to come to your friend and tell him I came to thank you and spit in his face, or not to come at all? Huh? If your face is get, if your friend is getting married tonight, in the middle of his chuppah, you came all the way, half an hour, you drove to the chuppah, and you came and spit in his face. What would be better? You came all the way and spit in his face, and your friend didn't even show up to the wedding, your other friend. Who he hates more, the one who showed up and spit in his face, or the one who didn't even bother to come? That's what we do. Come to the synagogue and embarrassed religion. Busha, talking, business, this, in the middle of the prayer, cellular phone, there, hello, In the middle. In the middle of Kedusha, I see sometimes people here. In the middle of Kadosh, 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 he answered the phone. Kadosh, Kadosh, yes, what's going on? Kadosh, what's going on? Yeah, 5 minutes, no problem. Like this, in front of everyone.
Shabbos?
No, on weekdays. On Shabbos, I have a good story for you. There is a synagogue not far away from here, maybe 2-3 miles away. And one time I went, I used to give lectures many years ago in that place, once a week. And Baruch Hashem, many of the young people started to keep Shabbat. And Baruch Hashem was a lot of results. But then one time they invited me for Shabbat. They gave me a house next to the shul. I can come with my family and I'm going to do Shabbaton. We pray, I give Divrei Torah. I say, you know what, why not? Let's do it. Then in Shabbat I see that they give Aliyot to the Torah to people who don't keep Shabbat. This guy came with his motorcycle. Now in Mincha, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, his motorcycle is outside. Come with his jeans and his cell phone is attached right here to his belt. He doesn't have a jacket. So everybody see, he comes into the shul on Shabbat with a cell phone. I feel that my heart is going on fire. And then the fume begins to come out of my nose and my ears. And I'm holding myself not to scream. There's maybe 700 people there at that time. I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? Wow, I gotta speak. I'm already afraid of Hashem, that I'm silent. Then I come to the rabbi over there. I say, I don't understand you. Why you give from all the people here, there's at least 200-300 people who keep Shabbat here. From all the people, you chose this Rasha to give him Aliyah to the Torah. He comes to the on Shabbat with his motorcycle and his cell phone over here. He say, over here, I'm not makpid on this law, not to give Aliyah to people who doesn't keep Shabbat. We give everyone Aliyot. What was his punishment? Just when the guy got up to the stage, you know, the higher, in the middle of the laning in front of 700 people, his phone started to ring full volume in Shabbat. I say, ishtabach shemo, you did my job. You saw I'm a coward. I couldn't scream, so you made the phone scream. And you should see how the guy was embarrassed. Believe me, he became pink, not red. He was looking for the button on the phone to shut it, and it doesn't go off. He goes, he takes it out. The guy that lands in the Torah is in shock. Everyone is standing there in shock. Such a big chilul Hashem. Do you think that rabbi learned the message? No. God today still does the same thing. You understand what's going on here? That's what's going on. So, en tochacha. You come to tell a person, excuse me, why are you doing this? Why are you not doing this? Don't tell me what to do. Mind your own business. In the old days, thank you for telling me. I appreciate it. thank you for you care about me. I know you're doing it out of goodwill. Today, forget it. There's nobody has the nerve to tell anyone what's to do right and what's to do not, what's not to do. Then the Torah says, "Agalil yecharev." The Galilee in Israel will be destroyed. That's happened right away, a year ago. You know, they shot all the Hezbollah shot hundreds of missiles. You saw what happened in Haifa, in the Galil. Half of the Galil, bombs, missiles everywhere. But it's nothing compared to what's going to happen just before Mashiach comes. The army that protects the borders will run in the border from one side to the other with no rest. Remember what happened a few days ago on May 15? 5,000 Arabs enter Israel and there was not one soldier over there to stop them. By the time the soldier arrived, 6 or 7 of them, Syrian, Palestinian, murderer, terrorist, were already in Tel Aviv and in Jaffa. You understand what we're talking about? 200 kilometers into Israel. All we needed now that they have bombs or machine guns, who knows what would happen. We could stay in Israel. One woman reported them to the police because there was hard to believe what's going on. Same thing, all the goyim from Sudan, they ran away from Sudan, they go into Israel. All of a sudden you find them in the middle of Israel. 5 black people, where are you from? They don't speak anything. They came from Sudan. They went 100 miles, 200 miles from the desert. Some of them don't have water. They almost die. They give them water before they die. And then they stay in Israel. Democracy, freedom, rights. There's nothing you can do. You have to feed them now. This is what's happening. They cannot prevent it. Now the Arabs just announced today, it was so successful. The Israeli army is so helpless, we'll do it again on Friday. Now they want to do it every Friday. I always said, years ago I said, all the Arabs have to do is just to walk to Israel, that's it. 50 million Arabs will walk, what are you going to do? The Israelis are cowards, they're afraid what the world's going to say. They're not going to start shooting at the 50 million Arabs. If you have 200s, you shoot, you kill 3, 4, the rest are running away, right? But if you have 50 million, it's like an ocean. What are you going to do? You're going to kill the first row? I'm not going to run away. They go, the 50 million, they come, they walk in, goodbye, sit in the middle of the street, like they do in Paris and in Madison Avenue. 1,000 people, they decided to pray in the middle of the intersection. What are you going to do? You know, in France, that's what they do. In the middle of the traffic, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, traffic is shut for 15 minutes. What? They pray in the middle of the street. And all the police stands on side, nobody makes a beep. One time they try to mess with them, 5,000 cars burn in Paris in 1 minute. Did you know or no? 2 years ago. Cars all over France were going on fire. That's the difference between the Arabs and the Jews. When the Jews were taken into the gas chambers, not even 1% of 1% of 1% of them made a beep. Everyone stood like a goat, and he went into the gas chambers and was choked to death with his wife and children. Try to make a holocaust to the Arabs. We'll see what's going to happen. Take the Nazis, bring them back in history now, and take, I don't know, one nation of Arabs and tell them we're going to butcher you. You're going to have to put special star here. You cannot sit on a bench. You cannot take the bus. You have no... Imagine what's going to happen. They'll burn your place away. What do you think? They're going to let you touch them? There's nothing you can do. Now they come to security. They don't want to move it from their face. Everything, it's a 15, 20 minutes arguments in Europe. They want to check the passport. They don't want to move it. Police pull a woman over. She doesn't want to identify. That's what happened right now. The whole world, they cannot handle it. We're not talking 13 million people here. We're talking almost 2 billion people. By tomorrow, it's going to be 2.1 billion. You understand what's going on? That's it. Gaddafi once said, we don't have to fight the Jews, Bichlal. We don't have to fight them. We don't have to fight to fight the Western world. We don't have to. All we have to do is to continue to give birth to a lot of babies. That's all. Nobody can do anything. That's what one person wrote me. The first person who found out a minute after they announced Bin Laden is dead, he saw me at 2 o'clock at night. Bin Laden is dead, finally. I answered back to him, 5,000 Bin Ladens were born that minute. You're happy that one terrorist is dead? 5,000 other terrorists in the world are ready to bomb now. What's the point here? That's what it is. En lanu al mi lismoch. We cannot rely on anyone besides God. If we rely on Hashem, we'll get saved. We don't, there's nothing we're going to be able to do. No F-16, no F-15, special army, special missile, atomic, nothing will help you. Israel has atomic bomb. What can they do with that? Can they fight against the Arab with atomic bomb? No. Even if you want to throw an atomic bomb on one of the Arab countries, it will kill you as well. It's like from here to Manhattan. What's Egypt to Israel? What is it? 20 miles? Throwing atomic bombs over there. He won't come here. So he cannot do. Syria, 50 miles. No. Atomic bomb. It's not a little local bomb. There's nothing you can do with that. There's nothing you can do. You go to fight against India. Okay, it's far away. But it's not really nothing. What is it going to do? Same thing, Iran. Iran wants to shoot an atomic bomb in Israel with a missile. They're also going to kill 1.5 million Palestinians. They're not going to be able to kill only Israelis. It's all mixed. They have the city all over Israel, in Jaffa, in Tel Aviv, here, there, everywhere. What are you going to do? Or one little mistake, they wipe out Jordan or half of Egypt. The situation is no resolution. You cannot solve the problem with peace talks. You cannot solve the problem with wars. Nothing. There's no solution to the situation. Let's say the Arabs are going to occupy Israel tomorrow. No, so what's going to be? What are they going to do now?
They're not doing anything.
I tell you what's going to happen. So 1 million people will die. 500,000 Jews, 500,000 Arabs. That's what's going to be. In the end, it's going to have to stop. They kill, you kill, you kill. In the end, it stops. Here, you know, in the Arab worlds, now they riots, they're shooting, they're killing. In the end, they kill them. That's it. They give up. That's it. In the end, they don't win. Look, Gaddafi is still in power. The whole world is fighting against them. He's hiding somewhere and laugh. Hezbollah took over Lebanon. Can you do something? They already have bunkers under the ground all over Lebanon. It's going to take 500 years to clean them away from there. There's no way. You're going to have to go under the ground and look and search where they're hiding. They can make tunnels and enter in Tel Aviv. In the middle of the day, you see 500 of them coming from the floor. They break the floor and it comes all the way from Jordan to here. Tunnels, like Midtown Tunnel, from here to New Jersey. How you go? Under the water. They make tunnels, you know. Everything they want in Gaza, they have. It all comes from Egypt through tunnels. They have tractors. The tractors go under the ground. And they dig, and they dig, and they dig. 6 months later, they have a tunnel. People walk from Egypt to Israel under no security, no passport, no nothing. There's nothing you can do. The solution, when Mashiach comes, then they'll get everything they deserve to get. All these murderers, all these anti-Semites, that day Hashem will pay. And the righteous Gentiles, they don't have any idea how lucky they are when Mashiach comes. They survive, they have great life, they learn Torah from the Jews, no more wars. Then they will realize, I was a lucky Gentile, that I loved the Jews and I protected them and I spoke for them. If the goyim would only know that by protecting the Jews in a conversation with his anti-Semite friends, how much points and credits he gets from Hashem, they will run to defend the Jews. Instead, most of them run and speak against. They don't have no idea how much they're going to pay for it. It's all ignorance. So what else? The military police, the border police, they're not going to be able to control the situation. Chokhmat sofrim tisrach. The wisdom of the chachamim, of the knowledgeable rabbis that write the books, not only will not be appreciated, people will not stop criticizing it and disrespect it, like today. And then newspaper criticizing, making fun, this, making lies, much propaganda against the religion that no other country in the world has like they have by the liberal God-hater Jews. Nowhere in the world people dare to speak against the religion like they dare to do in Tel Aviv. Nowhere. Chochmat sofrim tisrach. Yeah, I don't care. Irechet imasu. People who fear God, people who follow the law, people who go by the laws of God, modest, modesty, women, men, praying, honesty, integrity, ooh, right away they mark them as an enemy of society. Irechet imasu. 2,000 years ago it wasn't the case. Almost everyone was religious when they wrote it. Nobody could even imagine. Haemet yeh ne'ederet. It's impossible to find the truth. There's no 100% crystal pure truth anymore. Even when you see a person that is very honest, check him with a magnifying glass. Here and there you see he's a little bit, you know. No, the truth like it used to be, 100% solid truth. Never say lie, never cheat, never deceive, never misleading anyone. Never enjoying for stolen goods. All these things disappearing from the world. Ne'arim yalbinu pnei zkenim. The young kids will disrespect the old parents and the grandparents. Not only they don't respect them, they make fun of them, they arrogant to them, they violent to them. The old people are afraid of the young people. When I was a kid, I always say it. One old person or pregnant woman will get on a bus, half of the bus are arguing who's going to give them their chair to sit. Today, a young kid goes with his jeans all the way down, you know, like this. He feels like he's Tony from Harlem. He goes in the bus, hey, grandpa, get up, I want to sit. He's afraid, what is he going to do? Yeah. So, G'dolim ya'amdu b'pnei ha'ktanim. The parents will always think, how will I satisfy the kids? I'm afraid of them. Imagine he's going to take the car without my permission. Parents have to hide the keys. When they go to sleep, maybe the 14, 15 years old stupid son will take the car and go with his friends and kill someone without his license. That's what's happening today. You don't know. You call up your kids, he hang up on you 50 times. That's what's happening here. People, where is my son? Rabbi, do you have his number? Maybe you can call him. Why? What happened? 2 o'clock, he's not coming home. I don't know where. Last night he was also not here. I'm afraid something happened to him. Doesn't know. You tell him, I don't want you to bring that friend to the house. Not only he brings him to sleep over. Doesn't care about you. You tell him, here, I put this cake, it's for your sister's birthday tomorrow. Don't touch it. 2 hours later, it's gone. Or he already put his fingers in. Anybody afraid of his parents or his teachers? Kids call the rabbis in yeshiva with their private name. Even by the goyim, you don't hear things like that. In Christian school, they don't dare to call the teacher over there with his first name. They call Mr. X, Mr. whatever. Over there, he called his rabbi. Well, Horvitz, friend, Cohen. What's going on here? How can it be? Such a disaster, such a chutzpah. This is what's going to happen before Mashiach comes. Ben menavel av, boys cursing their fathers. Bat kama be'ima, daughters rebel against their mother. Don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me what to do. Don't, you want to live your life, you live your life. I want to do whatever I want. Kala bechamota. Daughter-in-law cannot stand their mother-in-law. Allergic. It's an allergy today. It's an allergy. Your parents come here for Pesach. You spend the holiday with your parents. I'm not going to be here. Yeah. Make sure your parents not coming to my birthday. I don't care. What do you mean? It's my parents, please, I'm begging you, don't make a scene. No, it's either them or me. When I was a kid, I remember how my mother used to run to take care of my grandmother for my father's size better than daughter and mother. Never heard in my whole history that she ever even imagined to say something bad against my father's parents. Mamash loving them exactly like love her own parents. And not only her, her was almost everyone like this. Women used to call their mother-in-law Ima. 100%. Such respect. Today, what's going on? A woman go with her baby into her husband's parents' house. She sit there for 3 hours, the whole Sunday, and never talk to the father one word. Hate each other, sitting in a table, making faces to each other. No fear for Hashem, nothing. Everyone egoistic. He's going to tell me hello, I won't tell him. Yeah, I heard they say something against me. You know, that's what's happening today. No, and Oyvei ish anshe beto. The most dangerous enemies of the person is own family. His own family. Anshe beto. You don't know what to expect from them. A thief from outside, if he step on your property, you know to get your gun or call 911. If you text us, you shoot. Here you have to wait 2 hours that the policeman will finish his coffee and he come to see how you got killed. You know, with a gun or with a knife. But you know, at least you know an enemy invaded your privacy. But if it's your own son, he comes in and who knows what, steal your wallet and who knows what. Or use the phone and call places and then you get $1,000 of bills. Like I hear things that are happening here, every block here, around here, what's going on here. You have no idea what's going on here. So you don't know. Because you don't believe that this is a threat right here. I'm here and he's right there and he can kill me now. Who knows what these kids can do? What they can do now? He takes the car and hits someone. What's going to happen? Who's going to get sued? Your car just killed someone. Hard to believe what's going on out there. Pnei ador ke pnei kelev. The images of the people like the faces of the dogs. Earring here, special beard over here, rastot. All kinds of things. Hair up, down, ponytail. He looks like a goat. This one looks like a camel. Pnei ador ke pnei kelev. You remember the commercial AT&T 1 cent 10 years ago? One box, a man, next to it is dog. Man is dog, woman are dog. Twins. AT&T, twins. I wish I kept that. I should make a slide in the lectures and show it. You won't believe. They show a big man, a bulldog dog. Mamash, twins. Look at them. Shh. Not sure who is the dog and who is the man. Aben lo itbayesh me'aviv. Not only the kids don't have respect to their parents, they don't have shame from them, no embarrassment. Why don't you learn? Leave me alone. Did you eat? Don't ask me this again. You call him, I want to see how you're doing. You're learning, you're doing something. Oof, I'm busy now. I'm with friends. You want to go visit him? Don't come next to my friends. Meet me in a corner. That's what's happening today. Ay. Ben Lloyd Bash Ma'aviv. Hey Abba, you have some grass for me? Let's smoke together. A boy said to his father. Can I get a cigarette? Old man, give me a cigarette. I heard that some parents call their fathers with their name. Itzik, you coming home? That's what's happening today. Hey Johnny. Well, by the going, you have Johnny Junior, Johnny Senior. No, fine, the old Johnny. But over here, calls himself Yitzhak, Avi. He's like his friend, Eli. Father. The Gemara concludes. Ve'al mi yesh lanu li'ishaen. Remember this. And who we can rely on? Hashem like brought us on our knees. That's it. Mercy, mercy. That's it. I surrender. There's nothing I can do. I admit. Okay, here. I'm a complete loser. I lost. I failed. I'm bankrupt. I have nothing. No achievements. Now please save us. That's it. That's the situation already. Now it's already like this. No. Anybody can come say, Kochi ve'otzem yadi. I'm still a big shot. Who is a big shot today? Every second another person gets cancer. Every second another divorce. Every second, another FBI investigation. Every second, another violence and another accident and another heart attack and another terrorism and another, before you realize. Here, while we're speaking here, every second a message. Pray for him, Tehillim for her. Pray for this surgery, pray for that person. This person became blind. That person, car accident. This one is in coma. That's what's happening now. And people are still sleeping. Rabbi, don't be excited. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we have a picnic. ועל מי יש לנו להישען? Who we can rely on? על אבינו שבשמיים, our father in heaven. If not on him, nobody else can save us. We finished here. Now we are already next week starting Masechet Gittin. We finished Masechet Sotah today. We have Masechet Gittin speaking about all laws of divorces. I'm giving you a preview from next week. Next week, we're going to speak about the gangsters who used to rule Jerusalem when the Romans made an ambush for 3 years around Jerusalem, around the wall. There were gangsters inside, Jews, that didn't let the Jews go surrender for 3 years. The Jews wanted to surrender, but they didn't let. Very interesting Gemara. And then, speaking about Titus, the Roman Caesar who came and cursed God and went into the Holy Temple and took all the treasures to Rome. And the punishment that God gave him. Speaking about his nephew, Unculus, that was a goy and became one of the most legendary rabbis in history, converted. Very interesting next week. The kids that sacrificed their life not to fall in the hands of the goyim. They jump into the water and did all kinds of things and say Shema Israel, just that the goyim will not rape them or do anything bad to them. And speaking about Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hanina that went to release one Jewish kid from prison, you know, and the whole story. Very interesting things next week, Bezrat Hashem. Monday I'm going to be in 73rd Avenue and 172nd Street, 8:30, every Monday. And here every Wednesday, next Wednesday, Bezrat Hashem, if you know anyone in Miami Beach, I'm going to be in Miami Beach for Shabbaton. We have Shabbaton. If you want more details, you can call me or you can go into the Facebook page. They have the address and all the arrangements for the Shabbaton. It's going to be in English. See you next week. Thank you very much.